The Philistines attack and David defeats them. He takes the Moabites and puts them in three lines. Two of the lines he puts to death, the third he keeps alive. He defeats Hadadezer in capturing 1,700 men and 20,000 soldiers. He hamstrung all the horses except for the ones needed for 100 chariots. And he takes Hadadezer's shield of gold to Jerusalem, as well as the bronze, and he builds garrisons in Damascus, and the rams become his servants after he kills 18,000 of them in the Valley of Salt. Toai is the enemy of Hadadezer, and he is so thrilled when he hears of David's victory that he sends blessings to the king. He sends his son Joram with gifts of silver, gold, and bronze. And David dedicates all the spoils and all the gifts to the Lord. And he builds a garrison in Edom and makes all the Edomites servants also. Now David has a great organization. Joab is the commander of his armies, and he's got Jehoshaphat as the recorder, and Zadok and Abimelech are the priests, as well as Ira. Sarai is the secretary. Benaiah is over the Cherethites and the Peliathites. And David's sons are the chief ministers. David asks if there's anyone from Saul's house still alive, and Ziba tells David about Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. So David has Saul's land and belongings returned to Mephibosheth, and he instructs Ziba and his 15 sons and 20 servants to work the land for Mephibosheth. The land provides all the needs of Mephibosheth's family, Ziba's family, and also the servants, as well as Mephibosheth's son, Micah. However, David expects Mephibosheth to live and eat at his table in Jerusalem. Now, David has a special relationship with the king of the Ammonites, but when the king dies, his son, Hanun, becomes king. And when David sends men with condolences, Hanun has their beards cut half off and their garments cut above their hips. When David hears of the humiliation, he tells them to stay in Jericho until their beards grow out. David is offended, especially when the Ammonites hire the Arameans to join them in attacking Israel. They hire 20,000 from Beth Rehob and Zobah, and 1,000 from Mach, and 12,000 from Tob. Joab and his mighty men find themselves with the enemy in the front and rear of them. He places some of his army under his brother's leadership and the rest under his. They will fight, and if one struggles, the other will retreat to help. And when Israel attacks, the Arameans flee from the armies of both brothers. When this happens, the Ammonites also flee. Even though the Arameans and the Ammonites leave, David pursues them, killing 700 charioteers, 40,000 horsemen, and they kill Shobakim, the commander of the armies. After that, the Arameans make peace with David, but he does not trust the Amorites again. When spring comes, all the kings go out to make war with their neighbors, and David's men are not different as they protect their country. Joab has been sent to attack the sons of Ammon and the city of Rabbah. But David stays home in Jerusalem, and one evening he goes to the roof to walk around, and he sees the beautiful Bathsheba bathing. He sins for her, and he has a sexual relationship with her that night, and she is the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of David's loyalist soldiers. Later, she sends a message to David that she is pregnant. He sends for Uriah and tells him to go to spend the night with his wife, but he does not. He stays outside David's door all night. The next day, David calls Uriah, and they drink until they are drunk, and he tells him to go home to his wife, but Uriah stays right near David's house. David sends a note with Uriah to Joab, telling Joab to put Uriah in the heat of the battle. Joab does so, and Uriah dies. Joab sends a message to David with a story about the battle, and when David asks about the silliness of the battle strategy, the messenger tells David that Uriah is dead, and David sends a message back to Joab telling him not to worry. Bathsheba mourns the appropriate days, and then David takes her as a wife, for David has done evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord sends Nathan to tell David a story about a rich man and a poor man, and how the rich man is unwilling to use one of his own many sheep for a meal for a guest, but takes the only lamb, the family pet of the poorest man, and serves it to his guest. David is furious, and he tells Nathan to bring the rich man, and he will put him to death. "You are the man," Nathan says, and David confesses his sin, and Nathan tells him that the Lord has forgiven him and he will not die. However, because of this, the sword will never leave David's household, and the child will die. After the child is born, the Lord causes it to be sick, and David mourns over the sickness of the child, praying and worshiping the Lord. He is so brokenhearted that he cannot eat, and when the child dies, the men are afraid to tell David, not knowing what he will do. And David hears them talking, and he asks if the child is dead, and when they tell him it is, David stands up, he changes his clothes, he puts on perfume, and he goes to eat. The men approach David thinking that it's now time for at the death of David that he should be mourning and fasting and weeping. But David says to them that the boy is dead and the boy cannot come back, but one day he can go to the boy. It is now time to get on with the business of the kingdom. And later, Bathsheba gives David another son, and they name him Solomon. But the Lord sends word through Nathan that his name should be Jedidiah. Joab captures the city, the royal city of the Ammonites, and sends word for David to gather the men to capture the city of Rabbah, or he will name it after himself. So David gathers the men and takes the city. David takes the king's crown that weighs a talent of gold, which has a precious stone in it, and he puts it on his own head, and he puts to death all the Ammonite people with the saw, the sharp iron instruments and axes, and he cremates them in the brick kiln. He does this to all the Ammonite cities before returning to Jerusalem. Amnon is a half-brother to Absalom, and he loves the beautiful Tamar, Absalom's full-blood sister. Amnon lusts over Tamar so much that it's making him sick. He wants to have sex with her, but she is a virgin. His friend Shimeah helps him cook up a scheme to trick Tamar so he can have his way with her. He will play sick, and when his father David comes into him, he will ask if he will let Tamar come feed him. Amnon plays sick on his bed. David comes in, makes the visit. Amnon asks for Tamar, and David sends her to feed him. And after she fixes the food, Amnon begs her to feed him, and she does, and he grabs her. "No," she says, "this cannot be." Amnon has his way with her, even though she's tried to get away. She will not go away now. He tries to send her away, but she won't go. She says to leave is a greater sin than the sin that has just occurred. The longer she stays, the more Amnon hates her and grows to hate her even more than his love was for her. He calls his servants to throw her out. Outside, she tears the sleeves off her clothing and puts ashes on her head. Absalom sees her and asks what has happened, even though he already knows by the looks of her. Absalom takes Tamar into his own house and keeps her there. And when David hears the news, he is very angry too. Absalom does not speak to Amnon either good or bad, but he hates him because of his sin against Tamar. 2 years later, Absalom is shearing the sheep in Baal-Hazor, and he invites all the king's sons to join him there, but David says no. So he asks if Amnon can come, and David says yes, and he lets some of his other sons go too. Absalom tells his men to cut Amnon down when he gives the signal, and they do. And the sons of the king flee to their mules, and they head off back for Jerusalem. Someone reports to David that Absalom has killed all the sons, and David tears his clothing and lays on the ground. Then Jehonadab, David's nephew, corrects the news, and David knows that Absalom has just killed Amnon because of what he did to Tamar. And David and the servants weep bitterly. Absalom does not stay at the sheep shearers, but flees to Talmai, the son of the king of Geshur. David misses him. He mourns for him every day and wants to go to him. Joab senses that David wants Absalom, so he sends a wise woman from Tekoa to David and tells her to pretend to be a mourner and to tell David a story about two boys who struggled in the field. Well, when she approaches David, she lays prostrate on the ground and tells the story, but David sees right through the trick and asks, "Did Joab put you up to this?" "Yes, he has," she says. So David sends for Joab, and when he arrives, the king instructs him to go and get that handsome Absalom and bring him back to Jerusalem. Joab does so, but Absalom, by orders of the king, goes to his own house instead of to the house of the king, and there he waits for 3 years. Now, Absalom is the most handsome man of Israel, and once a year he will cut his hair, and it weighs 20 shekels. He has 3 sons and 1 daughter whose name is Tamar, and she also is very beautiful. named after his sister, Tamar. After 2 years of living in Jerusalem without seeing David, he calls for Joab twice, but Joab does not come. He has his servants burn the fields of Joab, and that causes Joab to show up on Absalom's door. "Why have you set my fields on fire? Because I have sent for you and you did not come," Absalom says. "If I am not going to see David, I might as well be in Geshur," Absalom continues. So Joab tells David, and David comes to Absalom and prostrates himself before him and loves him. After meeting with David, Absalom provides himself with chariots and 50 men as runners. He will station himself at the gate and judge the people who come to be judged by David. "Oh, that you would appoint me judge," he will say. And in this way, Absalom begins to steal the hearts of the people away from David. After 4 years of being in Jerusalem, Absalom asks David if he can go down to Hebron to pay a vow, and David lets him go. And Absalom sends spies throughout the land and tells the tribes of Israel to shout, "Absalom is king in Hebron," when they hear the trumpet blast. 200 men from Jerusalem are invited to go with Absalom to Hebron, although they are innocent of why they are going. Absalom sends for Ahithophel, David's counselor, and the conspiracy is strong and growing. David hears that Absalom is on his way to Jerusalem with the hearts of the men of Israel on his side, and David loads up all his family and the people of the town to flee from the city, except he leaves 10 concubines behind to take care of the house. The Cherethites, the Peliathites, and all the Gittites, as well as the 600 men from Gath, head out after the king. At the gate, David stops and tells Ittai and all the other foreigners to return to their homes and be safe. And he reminds Ittai that he has been in the city for only a day and he must return to his home, but none of them will do so. They all want to follow David. The priests are bringing out the ark to go with David, but David sends it back to the city. Someone tells David that Ahithophel is with Absalom, and David prays that his counsel will be foolish. As David climbs Mount Olive, he is met by his counselor, Hushai, but David sends him to join Absalom and thwart the counsel of Ahithophel. Whatever Hushai hears, he can get the news to David through the priest and their two sons. Therefore, Hushai meets up with Absalom when he arrives in Jerusalem as ordered by David. Just beyond the Mount of Olives, David meets Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who has 2 donkeys, 200 loaves of bread, and 100 clusters of raisins, summer fruit, and a jug of wine. "Why do you have these?" David asks. "For you and the men," Ziba replies. "Where is the son of Mephibosheth?" David inquires. He tells him to stay in the city, to name the new king when Israel is restored to Saul's house. David tells Ziba that all that is his master's is now his, and he sends him away. At Baharim, David and all his men come to the house of Shimei, one of Saul's relatives. He curses David and throws rocks at him and his men. David's men want to cut him down, but David will not let them. His words might be true and from God. So David continues down the way, and Shimei continues parallel to him, cursing and casting stones. Absalom enters into the city, and he is met with hails of "Long live the king!" from Hushai. Absalom asks why he is not with his friend, and Hushai says his loyalty is with the men of Israel. So Absalom asks Ahithophel for counsel, and he tells Absalom to defile David's 10 concubines. So a tent is pitched up on the roof, and he defiles each of his concubines in the sight of all Israel to fulfill the prophecy of Nathan. Ahithophel counsels Absalom to let him take 12,000 men to curse David that night and bring him back to Jerusalem. But Hushai counsels Absalom that David is too smart to stay with his men. He will be held up in a secret cave somewhere. Hushai tells Absalom that he should wait and move the men of Israel as one unit to achieve his goal. Absalom decides to take Hushai's counsel. Hushai hurries to the priest and delivers the message that David needs to hurry back across the river to get away. The priest's sons deliver the message to David, but some of Absalom's men follow them. The sons of the priest hide in a well. A woman throws a blanket over it and scatters some grain on it. When Absalom's men search, they find nothing. And after the men leave, the priest's sons come out of the well and they go on their way. When Ahithophel sees that his counsel is not followed, he mounts a donkey and rides to the house in his hometown and hangs himself. David moves on to Mahanaim, and Absalom crosses over the Jordan River with all the men of Israel. Absalom makes Amasa head over the armies instead of Joab. Absalom camps at Gilead. Shobi brings beds, basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, grain, beans, honey, curds, and cheese for David and his people to eat because they are thirsty and hungry in the wilderness. David counts the people and divides them into two companies of hundreds and thousands. One third of the people he puts under Joab, one third under Zeruiah, and the last third under Ittai the Gittite. David is going to go into battle against Absalom, but the people plead with him not to because he is worth more than 10,000s of 10,000 soldiers. Therefore, David sends the three groups out, but he charges them to deal kindly with Absalom. In the battle, Israel is defeated by David's men. 20,000 men die in the forest of Ephraim by the sword. Absalom is riding his mule when he comes upon some of David's men. By chance, Absalom catches his hair in the branches of an oak tree, and the mule goes out from under him and leaves him hanging in a tree. David's men tell Joab, and Joab wants to know why they do not strike him. If they will, Joab will give each of them 10 pieces of silver and a new belt. However, the men will not strike the king's son, even for 1,000 pieces of silver and a new belt. Joab does not waste time. He takes three spears in his hands, and he goes and he thrusts them through Absalom's heart. The 10 young men who carry Absalom's army help with the killing, and Joab blows the trumpets, and the people stop pursuing Israel. They cast Absalom in a deep pit and heap great stones on him, and Israel flees to their tents. Absalom had set up a pillar for himself in the king's valley and said, "I have no son to preserve my name," so he named the pillar after his own name, Absalom's Monument. Ahimaaz wants to be the one to tell David of the death of Absalom, but Joab will not let him. Joab sends a Cushite to run and tell David. Ahimaaz begs Joab again to let him run after the Cushite no matter what happens or no matter how David reacts, and Joab lets him run. Ahimaaz can run faster than the Cushite, and he gets in front of him. Now, David is down by the two gates when the watchmen report the first runner, and David says it has to be good news. And when the watchman reports a second runner, David says, "I know it's good news." And the watchman reports that the first runner is Ahimaaz, and Ahimaaz tells David all is well. And David asks about Absalom, but Ahimaaz says he saw a struggle but does not know what happened to Absalom. David has him stand to the side to wait for the Cushite to arrive. When David questions the Cushite, he does not answer David directly. Rather, he says, "Let all the enemies of David be as that young man." David knows. He is deeply moved, and he weeps, and he cries, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." When Joab hears that David is weeping for Absalom, his day of victory is turned into mourning for all of Israel. And the people go to his own home in total quiet. Joab approaches David, explaining that his grief is a reproach to everyone who saved his life because he loved Absalom, who hated him. He also tells David that he needs to speak to the people, or they will think that princes and kings mean nothing to him. So David goes and sits at the gate where the people come to see him at Mahanaim. When Israel hears that David is remaining at Mahanaim, they are angry, saying that he has delivered them from the Philistines and their enemies, but he has not returned to the land of Absalom. David sends to ask Zadok and Abiathar the priest about coming back to Jerusalem, but they do not reply. David sends word again and asks them to speak with the elders about his coming back, and all the people want him back in Jerusalem, but the elders have not called for him. David calls for Amasa and makes him commander over the armies instead of Joab, and that makes everybody happy. And he returns as far as the Jordan, and the leadership of Israel goes down to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring him across the Jordan. Shimei comes to David with 1,000 men and Ziba with his 15 sons and his 20 servants to help ford David's family across the river. And when Shimei sees David, he falls before him and says, "Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on that day when my lord the king came out of Jerusalem, so that the king would take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, I have come today as the first to meet the king.